That's an incredible reading from the Word of God, isn't it? No matter what we do, whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. Turn your Bibles as you, well, mark Romans 14, if you don't mind, and then turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul points out the reason that now as his disciples, as the children of God, whatever we do, in everything that we do, we are the Lord's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We have been bought with a price. We've been bought, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is the price. And therefore, we are not our own anymore. We belong to someone else. You know, it's like you go to a store, you go and you buy something. And before you bought it, that thing belonged to the store. They had taken their money and they had bought it. It was in their inventory. And now you have bought it. It is no longer the property of the store. It's your property. You see, I guess in one way of looking at it, we all sold ourselves to the devil. We sold ourselves into sin. We made ourselves slaves of sin. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 6. And therefore, we were not our own. We belonged to the devil. And we were bought back from sin, from the devil. The price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to the world. We don't belong to sin. We don't belong to the devil. We belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to the Lord. And so that in everything that we do, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And our obligation, the covenant. You know, the covenant that we entered into the Lord when we became Christians, both sides have responsibility. Our obligation that we make, the deal we make with God when we are saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, is now I belong to you. I belong to you. That's the deal we make. That's the covenant that we enter into. Back in Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. We live for the Lord. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Now, if we are the Lord's, and if we live for the Lord, can we live for anyone else but the Lord? Of course we cannot. But many people in the world today, they're living for many things, many different people. Some people are living for a spouse. Some people are living for a boyfriend or girlfriend. Some people are living for their children or for their parents. Some people are living for friends or bosses and jobs or popularity and prestige and notoriety. Some people live for fun and recreation. Some people live for material possessions and wealth. But Christians live for the Lord. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we touched on this just a little bit in our adult Bible class on Wednesday evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Here is our motivation. We live for the Lord, not for ourselves, not for anyone else, not for anything else. Verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us. And your Bible may say constrains us. And we used Wednesday night the illustration of putting your thumb over the opening of a water hose. And when you do that, it makes the water rush out much more quickly and it shoots much further off. And so you are motivating the water. You are motivating it to do something it would not have done if your thumb would not have been there. And so now we are motivated by the love of Christ. That's what moves us as faith works through love. That's what moves us as Christians. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Verse 15. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves. Get that? Why did Jesus die? Yes, to save us. But because of that, now we no longer live for ourselves. Paul says, no longer for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And so we do not live for ourselves any longer. We do not live for anyone else who is upon the earth in this way that we're talking about this morning. We do not live for anything else. We live for the Lord, for Jesus Christ. The song we sing, 335, live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Give him all thou hast to give. On the cross, the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live. Therefore, live for Jesus. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. Peter says it's by his stripes we are healed. Therefore, we no longer belong to self, but to Jesus. We're living for the Lord, not to please anyone else in this context we're talking about. We're living for the Lord. Also, I want us to think just a moment, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We live for the Lord. We don't live for anyone else, not for anything else. To live for the Lord, we must seize the moment. We must seize the moment. In other words, we must make the best of our time. We must redeem the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. All right, as wise men, what do? The next verse, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Now, your translation may say redeeming the time. And this is a metaphor. It means buying up the time, buying it up, and therefore making the best of it. You know, all of us, when we were living in sin, we were wasting our time. We were wasting our time with the things of the world. We were wasting our time with sinful things. We were wasting our time not serving God, not fruitful in the kingdom of God, not even a child of God. And now as children of God, having repented, having this feeling of sorrow for those things of the past, we are making the very best of our time, buying it up, buying it back. All of us as Christians now make better use of our time to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. And I think we know this, but let me share with you two illustrations of statistics of how we as Americans spend our time. And I'm not asking you to believe these statistics are absolutely correct. There's many variables that are involved, but I think it just illustrates this point. Someone calculated in a typical life of 70 years how it spent sleeping 23 years, or about 33%. Work, 16 years. TV, 8 years. Eating, 6 years. Travel, 6 years. Leisure, 4.5 years. Illness, 4 years. Dressing, 2 years. Religion, half a year. 0.7% of our time. Now, for Christians, this is going to be much different. But let me ask you this. Are we truly redeeming the time, making the best use of our time? Could we not perhaps cut on some of these other things? Well, sure, God wants us to work. Sure, God wants us to eat. Sure, God wants us to have recreation. But we must balance all of these priorities. And who here can say, I'm making the very best decisions in every single thing? Here's another illustration. In the average lifetime, the average American spends 3 years in business meetings. This one has 13 years watching TV. spends over $89,000 on food, consumes over 109,000 pounds of food, makes over 1,100 trips to restaurants, spends nearly $9,000 on vending machines. Now, that's not me for sure. I don't know where that came from. Eats over 35,000 cookies and nearly 1,500 pounds of candy. Catches 304 colds, is involved in 6 motor vehicle accidents. Women in the hospital 12 times. Men in the hospital 8 times. And spends 24 years sleeping. Now, I'm not asking you to believe these statistics, but I think we all know that as Americans, we waste our time. And the challenge is for us as Christians not to live like our friends and neighbors and to make the best of our time. Let's have a little self-evaluation for just a moment. What can you do to make better use of your time, to be more fruitful in the kingdom of God? What can you do? Let me ask you this. Play along with me for just a second. If you had 1 week to live, what would you do differently than you're doing right now? Now, of course, you may say, well, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to quit school. But let's be practical about it. You got to keep your job. You got to keep school and all these things like this. But with all of those taken into account, what would you do differently? Would you watch TV quite as much? Would you be on the computer and the internet quite as much? Would you be on the telephone quite as much? Would you go and do something else that maybe there was something different? In the Lord's kingdom, maybe you've been thinking about doing it. You know, I need to start doing this. I need to start, or I've really not done this for a long time. I need to do this. What would you do differently if you knew you only had 1 week to live? Now, let me ask you, are you making the necessary changes in your life to make better use of your time? I'll confess to you, I need to make better use of my time, but am I making those changes in my life? Am I in the process of making those changes? Are you seizing the moment? Irma Bombeck, a humorist, said this: seize the moment. Remember all those women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart? She's a humorist. She's making light of this. That the fact is, oftentimes we're not living in the moment. So what can I do? What's the best thing for me to be doing right now with my time? Seize the moment. Well, as we think about these things, I want us to think for just a moment. To live for the Lord, we must be committed to die for Him. That seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? To be committed to live for the Lord, we must be committed to die for Him. Remember Romans chapter 4, verse 8, "For if we live for the Lord, or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." I want to speak for just a moment about being committed to die in two ways. Turn with me in Colossians chapter 2, to Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 11. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. The first way I want to speak of being committed to die for the Lord is in a spiritual sense, in our spirits, and in putting to death that old man. In Romans chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, you remember so well, it talks about our conversion when we're baptized into Christ. Verse 11, "And in Him you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him." That to be buried, you need to die, right? And so we're committed to this dying for the Lord, the very first time we obey in obedience to the gospel, buried with Him in baptism, in which we're also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. Now, jump down to chapter 3. That's when it began. We died for the Lord the first time when we obeyed the gospel. Now it's an everyday thing for us as Christians. Chapter 3, verse 1. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above." This is how we die for the Lord. Paul says, "I die daily." 1 Corinthians 15:31. This is it. having died with the Lord when we're baptized, now we're seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on the earth. And verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead. And then there's a long list that goes on for a few verses. And so our first commitment is to die for the Lord every day in our spirits. That we consider our mortal members, our physical members, to be dead and dead to sin. And this is a daily commitment. And let me ask you, do you commit yourself to death every day? So that then you can live for the Lord for that day. We must commit ourselves to die for Him in order to live for Him every day. Now turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 21. I want to talk about our commitment to die physically. Not only are we committed to die in our spirit, to put away those things of sin, but also we must be committed to serve our Lord to the death. Acts chapter 21 and verse 13. Here Paul was nearing the end of his third missionary journey. And they were trying to get Paul not to go to Jerusalem because it had been prophesied already that he was going to be bound there. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Now the Lord had already told him he was going to go to Rome. But this was his commitment. That being bound for the Lord in Jerusalem is not as bad as what I'm committed to do right now, and that is to suffer physical death. His commitment was to die physically. And one could say that is the ultimate commitment, to die physically for Christ and His cause. That's the point in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And sometimes we use, and I think we use it properly. I use it to be faithful unto death. And we say, well, if you live 100 years old, be faithful unto death. Well, the context of Revelation chapter 2 is that many of you are going to be persecuted horribly, even to the death. Be committed to withstand the torture is the context of Revelation chapter 2. Because you're going to be tested for 10 days. 10 days represents a short, complete period of time. Be committed to die for the Lord. And it takes that commitment to walk every day living for Jesus Christ. Yes, in our spirit to put to death the sinful things, but also our commitment physically. I'm ready to die for the Lord. I want to make one final point in this lesson, if you'll turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 14. Whatever we do, we live for the Lord. We die for the Lord. And that's our commitment in all that we do. The final point in this lesson is, if we die for the Lord, we will rejoice in that way. And understand, we already talked about to die for the Lord, we must be living for the Lord. We must be living for the Lord today so that I can die for Him tomorrow. If we die for the Lord, we will rejoice in that day. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Again, Paul talking to those who would suffer such very difficult and hard persecution. Verse 13, John here says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors and their deeds follow with them. Blessed." To die in the Lord is a blessing. To be blessed, to be happy, to rejoice that we have died for the Lord. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as Paul expresses here in this passage, again, we looked at this chapter on Wednesday evening. I wonder within myself, do I truly have this attitude which is taught here in the Word of God? Verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God. That's our spiritual body. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed. Let me ask you, do you groan, longing to be clothed with eternity? Longing for that day to come? Or are you wanting it to be just delayed and put off as long as possible? Is it that part of you that just groans and looks forward to that day? Go down to verse 8. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Is that your preference? Do you prefer to be absent from this body so that you can be clothed with your eternal dwelling and be with the Lord? Is that your preference? Is that what you long for? I think that's pretty hard in our country where things are so nice and so wonderful and life is just so easy. So we have to work very hard to make sure our mind is what it ought to be in thinking about our life here upon the earth. I've shared with you before my grandmother passed away. I and my family just happened to be at her apartment that day. And she had told me for a number of years she was ready to go and to leave this life, and she wanted to go and to be with the Lord. And she just was groaning for that day. And she had had some problems, and she had fallen. She had been to the hospital, and we went over to visit. It was during the Christmas holiday. And she fell once again, and she went and laid down for a few moments. And she didn't wake up. And we were there. And I was happy for her. I was happy. Because she'd received that which she groaned for, that she wanted for so long. Yes, she loved us. Yes, she loved my father and my mother and all of her grandchildren. But she wanted to go home to be with the Lord, and I was happy for her that day. In the second century, around 125 AD, it said of a Greek man who wrote to one of his friends, trying to explain the extraordinary success of this new religion called Christianity. In his letter, he said, if any righteous man among the Christians passes from this world, they rejoice and offer thanks to God. And they accompany his body with songs and thanksgiving as if he were setting out from one place to another nearby. That's the way I looked at it with my grandmother. I didn't tell my grandmother goodbye. I told my grandmother, in my mind, because she was unconscious, I told her, Grandmother, I'll see you later. You're going to a place that's not that far, and I'll be there one day with you. Isn't that the attitude we should have as Christians? I think so. If I die, I want you to be happy for me. And I'll promise you, if you die, I will be happy for you. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. If you're not living for the Lord today, now is the day. Now is the day, if you're not a Christian, to begin by dying with the Lord for the very first time so that you can live today for Him. But perhaps you are a Christian, but you've strayed from the truth. You used to live for the Lord, but you no longer live for the Lord because you're not putting away those sinful things every day. You're not doing as the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. You stopped doing that, so you stopped living for the Lord. Today is the day to begin anew and to begin living for Him. I'll leave you with this illustration. General William Nelson, a Union general in the Civil War, was consumed with the battles in Kentucky when a brawl ended up with him being shot mortally in the chest. He had faced many battles, but the fatal blows came while he was relaxing with his men. As such, he was caught fully unprepared. As men ran up the stairs to help him, the general had just one One phrase, send for a clergyman, I wish to be baptized. He never had time when he was an adolescent or a young man. He never had time as a private, and especially not as a general. And his wound did not stop or slow down the war. Everything around him was left virtually unchanged except for his priorities. With only minutes left, before he entered eternity, the one thing he cared about was preparing for eternity. He wanted to be baptized. But unfortunately, he died 30 minutes later. Do not be unprepared. Be prepared. Be sure you're living for the Lord today. If we can help you at all, won't you come to the front as we stand and sing.